Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The Celtic Exchange. A fresh insight on Celtic Football Club.
Celtic hits in Johnston for seven, Matt O'Reilly scores the team goal of the century and Kyogo Furuhashi makes his long-awaited return at Celtic Park. There's a lot to love about this Celtic side just now and Ange Postecoglou has his absolutely flying, with all attention now turning to this weekend's semi-final at Hampden and the chance to take one step closer to what would be an incredible treble. This is episode 64 of the Celtic Exchange Weekly. This is Tino and this week I'm joined by Miff and Paddy to cover all things Celtic. Miff, seven goals, six different goal scorers at the weekend. What one was your favourite?
Hello Tino, hello Paddy, hello guys. My favourite has to be Ariely's goal, although honourable mention to Hatate's goal due to the setup for Greg Taylor.
Yeah, I know you wouldn't miss the opportunity to give that boy credit. Paddy, I just talked about peaking just at the right time of the season and we're doing exactly that, aren't we?
Absolutely, he's been saying it for quite a few weeks that he was still waiting in that coming, and if this is it starting to happen now, then perfect timing, eh? Absolutely brilliant on Saturday.
Yeah. So Saturday it was Celtic's 33rd league game of the season and our last game before the split. We've got the fixtures now, we'll get into that a wee bit later on in the show. Second bottom St Johnstone, the visitors, and the last thing Callum Davidson will have wanted is conceding that early goal.
Yeah, and one of those ones with Callum Davidson, I actually listened to his post-match comments. I kind of think that was one's just like damage limitation, albeit they concede the seven, but maybe just more just watching, you know, looking at the next five games that they've got coming up, they're going to have more of a chance than what they are against ourselves. So I don't think they'll read too much into it. I actually still think St Johnstone have still got a good chance of being safe, even from the playoff.
You can see how poor St Mirren are just now. I know there's a bit of a gap. I think there's maybe 6 points between the two. But you wouldn't bet against St Johnstone turning on a wee bit of form.
I think so.
Particularly against that bottom half, who've now got nothing to play for, no European motivation. So a lot of them will just be playing out their fixtures.
Well, that's a good thing about the league split, is that when the league's close, it creates almost like a six-pointer situation every other week. So it won't take much for the games to mean something between the teams fighting relegation. With St Johnstone, just to touch on what Paddy said there, Davidson seemed to pretty much say that at the end of the game, that kind of rested some players thinking the next five games to come, this isn't our fight. So interesting, but I think you could see fairly on a combination of both the fact that Celtic were up for it and St Johnstone were a bit spooked.
Yeah,
I think so, and I think a lot of teams have realised that if you can maybe keep Celtic, you know, at bay till maybe half time and a bit beyond, it can get a wee bit nervy. There was just no chance of that happening on Saturday. You could see from a very early stage, several guys were on it. Least of all, Daizen Maeda. We covered them in great detail last week, and I feel we'll just be covering old ground again, so we won't labour too much, but the guy's just a phenomenon. He's a few to say, but he's some guy.
Well, I think no matter how much ground we cover on him, it won't be as much as he covers on a football part.
That's a good one.
I like that, mate. Well done.
How long you kept that in your pocket?
Come on. For the audio listeners, I was cutting my fingers. I think with Maeda, he just is. You can see why Ange was so protective of him at the start, because it was, you know, he felt it was fairly ridiculous. The fact he'd had such a disrupted start to his Celtic career, because he was in just off the point, scored a goal, then he was back playing for Japan again. You know, there was a lot of disruption around the start, and also, you know, Angie's teams, their identity is to press the ball high up the park. You saw it from Abada early in the season, who was a really good exponent of it, and I think Maeda just takes it to a different level. and how much it disrupts the opposition team try to build the play for the back. It's just the work rate is, like you say, phenomenal. You know, and it's great to have a guy in a Celtic team who's willing to work so hard, who can do it so effectively, but also have quality when it comes to, you know, you don't want another, dare I say, like Kenny Miller type situation where somebody grafts hard working down the channels but there's no end product to it. Mm-hmm. What you see with Maeda is he's constantly making those runs and looking dangerous and effective in the box as well.
Yeah, that said, Paddy, there's no doubt that his technique, his technical skills, his first touch at times and different things aren't the absolute, you know, high point of his game. It's that energy, that work rate, that intelligence that he shows as well. And I just think there's no doubt that the work he puts in when in possession and when out of possession for Celtic, it just makes such a huge difference to how the whole field opens up for his teammates.
Absolutely. And I think you see the ball that Kyogo played in for him for the seventh goal to lead into Abada. It's not the greatest of touches from him, but it's the run that he makes. It creates the goal straight away. It's a great ball from Kyogo. One thing about Maeda for me is that if he has that bad touch, he's quick enough to get the second one. You know, he's quick enough to get the second ball. I don't think it's too much of an issue on that sense. And what we're always talking at the beginning of the season, the first few months, like once our players get up to speed and able to read Kyogo's runs, then it's going to be something frightening. We've just seen what Kyogo is aware of on Saturday, mm-hmm. a ball like that through, just caught St Johnston out. I wonder how many teams are going to do that against with the two of them.
Yeah, and I'm going to cover that a wee bit later on. You've jumped right. ahead, Paddy.
Okay, mate.
I really should share these notes with you pre-recording. Because Kyogo has only now just played, 15 minutes or so with Maeda on Saturday and Matt O'Reilly. And a question for later on is, you know, sometimes this season Kyogo has been making the brilliant runs and nobody's found him. I wonder if O'Reilly is the guy to find him. So we'll maybe get into that cool. in a wee bit more detail. Miff, I know you love a stat, so I'm going to give you some for the weekend, some incredible stats from Saturday. Possession stats, first of all, 84% to 16. 23 goal attempts versus their one. Zero saves for Joe Hart, which isn't the first time this season as well. Zero saves at Celtic Park. And an incredible 894 completed passes. I'm not overly big on Opta stats and different things, but I believe that's one of the highest ever recorded domestically.
I also believe zero broken bottles in the pitch as well.
Zero, yeah. There's always next week.
Impressive stat.
We'll see how that goes. However, none of these stats matter unless you're winning games and scoring goals. But of course, if you add in the important stat from Saturday, a 7-0 win, then it all becomes very clear that Ange's found a formula here, Paddy, and it's absolutely working.
It's kind of what we were talking about again as well. We're now at a point where players are coming in and out of the team week in, week out. And you're not noticing it. You're not noticing the difference in the sense that there's no disruption to the play. They're all kind of playing off the same hymn sheet, and it's great to see. It's exciting. As I always keep saying on the show, if we go and win this league, which is looking very likely, to get these players in for a full pre-season with additions to it, I said it a few weeks ago, it'll be 20 points plus for me next season. Honestly, I can just win in those years. I really believe that.
Let's get this one out the road first.
Hey, come on.
Flying out of traps tonight.
Straight away.
Only two drinks of my coffee.
It's a valid point to an extent, though, Miff. You know, much of what Paddy's saying there, it is so exciting just now. And with each passing, you know, passing week, passing game, passing training session, it's only going to get better.
Well, I think the first thing is that when O'Reilly came off the bench, I think he's actually getting better looking. Mm-hmm. He is just smouldering, isn't he?
Impossible.
Absolutely smouldering. And what I loved about his first goal was it actually looks like Abada's scored an overhead kick. It's just the way the two of them kind of run in at the same time. Yeah. It's a lovely thought to think that the team is only going to get better. And Ange, in fairness, has been fairly consistent in saying that, judge me next season. I think he feels like anything he does this season is a bit of a bonus. Already got a trophy in the cabinet. And the way that we're playing at a crucial point of the year is really promising. But as much as I'm getting excited about the way that we're playing, I really can't take my attention away for this year. Next year will be next year. I'll be happy when it comes round. Hopefully we'll strengthen in the right areas. That for me would be another centre half, just to give genuine competition to Starfelt and Carter Vickers, because I don't believe Julian is at the moment, whether that's due to fitness or whether Ange just doesn't fancy him. But it'd be hard to make a judgment on him by the fact that he's not played. Yeah. And also in the fullback areas as well, particularly left back, just to give Taylor a bit more competition, because Scales obviously isn't ready because he's barely featured. So those would be the areas I would see as predominantly strengthening, and possibly even another striker.
Yeah, I think you might well be right. I mean, Very interestingly, 12 of the 16 players involved on Saturday were Ange signings. I think that's incredible. They've buried them in so well. It's not just like we've got 12 guys in, sometimes we win, sometimes we don't, sometimes we don't play well. It's all just clicked together. And, you know, the only guys that were there from last season then from on Saturday, Greg Taylor, Callum McGregor, Tom Rogic, David Turnbull, 12 others have come in and not just played a part, but they're impressing week on week.
They really are. It's amazing how quickly they have settled, just like you've said there, Tino. You don't see that a lot in football. In that short space of time, you don't really see players hitting the ground running and putting up an incredible fight this season to go and try and win in all competitions possible. It's been great to watch. We've lived through every minute of this season because we've always known that it's been a rebuild year. But to get to where we are just now is nothing short of incredible. It's excellent.
And I think as Miff's leaned towards, there's no doubt that Ange isn't a guy to rest on his laurels. There's never a, you know, you just stand back and admire what you've done. There's always an improvement with everything you're doing, whether that's some of the back-end stuff, some of the coaching, some of the analysis. And you better believe he's going to add to the squad and improve on what's already a pretty strong team there. So that and the ongoing improvement of the existing players will be very exciting.
Well, you only have to look at the start of last season, and the recruitment on paper looked good because it was in the areas we needed strengthening. The signings looked pretty strong in terms of tried and tested internationals. Barkas, Ajeti, Duffy all coming in, and it didn't work. The balance wasn't right. You could argue we didn't adapt very well to the whole COVID situation. That compounded it as well. But then you look again what's happened this season. Biggest irony of the lot is I think Rangers have actually made the exact mistakes that we made in terms of probably resting in their laurels a tad and not recruiting properly. So I think what we have to do is make sure that we do our very best to get that right again so that it does strengthen the team and not do what Celtic tend to do from a position of strength, lose a couple of big players and not adequately replace them.
On that one though, I would say that a big factor for me that makes me think that we won't do that is that the board and Ange themselves are surely looking at the two legs with Bodo and basically saying, well, that's a level we need to get to.
Yep.
But considering the money we have in comparison to what Bodo have, that is definitely a level that is achievable. So
the more I see it, the more I think that was just, we had two of our worst games of the season just happened to be against the same opposition within the space of a week. I think it's one. I'm not sure they're as good as we necessarily built them up or made them look to be.
I don't know. Their run continuing in that tournament would suggest otherwise for me. Yeah. If they beat Roma last week. So for me, I just think they're just a very well set up unit, and I think something they aspire to.
Yeah, I think overall that result, unpleasant as it was at the time for Celtic, I think it's turned out to be a real blessing. I think there's no doubt having this extra space, this week being a great example. We've now got actually 8 days, so we play on Saturday and not again till Sunday coming. 8 days to prepare for a Scottish Cup semi-final. Rangers have got they will argue welcome distraction of Thursday night, but that is a tough game for them and that'll really play its part. In addition, I think it's a great point, Paddy, that Ange will turn round to the board and say, listen, domestic stuff, you can see all the progress, but we're not ready for that European stuff yet. To compete on four fronts is very tough to do for any team at any time. And I think Ange is saying, listen, I've got a decent squad just now. I need more. I need better. And he seems to have an excellent relationship with Michael Nicholson and, you know, the guys behind the scenes. And I think he'll be able to reference the Bodo game to say, I need a bit more off you guys. And I don't think there's any doubt they'll get that support in the summer.
Agreed. For me just now, though, I think, you know, obviously, we are still pushing to try and win the league here. As I say, it's looking likely. I'll wait till we've done it. The Scottish Cup is something that I think that, you know, definitely winnable for us. I'd just love us to see is maybe just try and push and just tie Ange down now as well. Just to make sure we are just confident and we're going straight into the summer and just getting ourselves ready.
Yeah, I wouldn't be against it at all. I think he was asked last week around about the time of the Dermot Desmond interview, and he was saying he's more than happy just now the way things are going and just to focus. He seems a man of his word as well. And now, don't get me wrong, unless you've got something tied up in writing, you never know, especially in football. But I think he seems quite happy. So we'll see how that goes. Big, big plus from Saturday, the return of Kyogo Furuhashi. We last saw him, ironically, against St Johnstone as well. That was on Boxing Day, so 26th of December. And what was Saturday? The 9th of April. So a long time to wait for a guy like that to return. He received a huge applause, as you'll have been part of, in the 74th minute. Very interesting that when you seen him take the zipper off and you knew he was ready to go, you were just desperate for the ball to go out. And it wouldn't go out, and it wouldn't go out, and it went to him, and it went to him, and it went to him. And then Matt O'Reilly bangs it in for whatever it was, 6-0. Nice way to put the ball out of play, if you want to look at it like that. But he eventually does come on, as I say, 74th minute, and what a response, and just amazing to have him back.
Yes, and to think of the burden that he carried, you know, as much as you look at the recent form of the team and you look at guys like Maeda that have come in and hit the ground running, Hatate, you have to remember that we wouldn't even be in the fight if it wasn't for Kyogo. Yeah. You know, he pretty much single-handedly dragged us through the start of the season when we were in the mud. So great to have him back, and just so exciting to see what sort of partnerships he'll build with the new guys that have come in, because he's barely had a chance to play with them. So yeah, bring it on.
Yeah. Paddy, you mentioned he obviously played his part with the seventh goal, and it's not the stuff you're used to seeing. He's usually on the other end of it, but just a huge boost to have him involved, isn't it?
Absolutely. And it's one of those ones, like the noise of the stadium, just when he approached the byline, the touchline, you're just like, I can't remember. It kind of reminded me when Larson came on for like the return for the leg break, just that the whole stadium just erupted at it. It was kind of resemblance of that, and I just thought, yeah, we've got a special player there, and I think the fans know that, and you're spot on with that as well, Miff. He did carry us an awful lot in the first few months of the season. What a time to come back, though, eh? It's a great run in for us.
Perfect. Miff, just when Paddy was referencing Larson, you'll have remembered George Cadetti coming on with you there that night.
Against Aberdeen?
Yeah.
5-0.
No, because it was on the telly, I was watching it on the telly.
It was some kind of Wednesday night, 1997-ish, George Cadetti comes on after much nonsense from the SFA in terms of his registration.
But I was actually at the part. Was it the Partick game where he got paraded? Was it Partick they were playing?
Maybe.
Yeah. I was at that game, but I wasn't at the game he made his debut. Because he came and goes, go you Celtics.
But he nearly took the roof off that night against Aberdeen, and I think just, you know, similar vibes.
Oh, what a finish. Oh, what a player.
Brilliant. We had him for too little time, Miff. Yep. But we'll not dwell on that. We've now got Kyogo, so let's enjoy the moments. Good quote here from Matt O'Reilly. So he says, I've only trained with Kyogo a couple of times. I'd heard from everyone else how good he was, but you really notice it when you're with him every day. The sharpness of his movement isn't something I've seen before. He always knows where to be. And that was what I was referencing earlier on, Paddy. It's really exciting to see that we're now approaching this, you know, final, hopefully, seven games of the season that we've still got to play, and to have the potential of O'Reilly's and Kyogo's and Maeda's all to link up. He's not played with Hatate for even a minute yet. That's a very exciting prospect.
It really is. I think that we've also, like kind of what I was saying earlier, just in the sense that we can happily rotate and be comfortable with whoever's coming in. They're going to come in and do the job, and it's just keeping those good, like, those players all fresh. Everyone's going to be remaining fresh for the remainder of the season. I think there's a big push from us on Sunday for this game. I think it's going to be a very difficult one, but we can give everything in it, knowing that, you know, that there's going to be a squad quite happily ready for the next one. And I just feel that it's a good place that we're in. You're 24, 25 players all ready to go. That's a great position to be in coming into the final games of the season.
Absolutely. Are you excited to see Kyogo link up with his countrymen?
Absolutely. I'm excited to see him link up with the likes of O'Reilly as well. It's just came at a really good time. Gives the squad a boost. Just on the note, everybody being fresh, what's the update? Or has there been a bulletin on Giakoumakis yet?
Not heard anything yet.
Nothing yet, no.
Because that would be a blow, just given that he gives us that something different, that physical presence up front. But again, Kyogo coming back, given how much of a talisman he was for us in the start of the season, it would just be great for him to come back and finish a job. I think he's earned that. You know, he would deserve that given his efforts at the beginning of the season. And I think what we have seen from him, we've seen that quality from him, not only in the SPL, but we saw it in the Europa League as well. Mm-hmm. You know, we know he can do it on the big stage. We've seen it in the cup final as well. He can do it on the big stage, on the big occasion. So that just makes it even more exciting, because that's the arena that he's coming back into when things are going to be decided.
Yeah. We'll get to the Rangers game and the potential lineups, but there's no doubt that Giakoumakis being injured is a blow. It would look unlikely that he's going to make it, given the nature of it. It looks to be a hamstring injury, so he's limped off after, I think, 22 odd minutes just after his goal. A brilliant finish, by the way.
Yes.
That's Larson-esque, that kind of angle.
Yeah.
Really impressive. And he found form at the right time for us as well. I think he's got 13 goals in total for the club, 12 of them coming in 2022. It would be a cruel blow to him, Paddy, if we lost him at this crucial stage.
It really would be. A lot were saying, like, who do you drop him for obviously Kyogo coming back? And the argument for me was no. The reason being, he's definitely earned his place. And I think that for someone like Kyogo getting up to match speed again, I wouldn't have minded Kyogo being in and out the team. It's maybe looking like he's probably going to have to come back in and maybe starting a few games. But again, he's not going to have to play full 90 minutes because you can easily move Maeda into the middle, have Abada on the left or Jota on the left and vice versa. You know, this is the depth we've got now, and this is where it starts to show that we've, look, the basically the recruitment has worked so well for us this season.
It definitely has. I also think, just as you're talking there, the five subs thing is a huge and I might even say unfair advantage, to be honest with you, for a club like Celtic and maybe even Rangers with their resources, whatever their resources are at this moment in time. But for us to be able to bring on five players, and it's not just five guys like, on you go and get a wee 20 minutes and you'll do just fine. You're replacing really good player with really good player, and you don't see any drop in quality. And actually, it's maybe even the reverse of that. You're seeing an increase because you've got Matt O'Reilly, for example, comes in at half-time for Rodgers. They two have been vying for position, and O'Reilly says, I'll show you why I should be starting games, and comes in and then, you know, scores his goals, has a brilliant game, and he'll be in the reckoning now for Saturday, or for Sunday. So it's such a huge advantage to be able to bring on like for like at this stage in the season.
Oh, no, absolutely, and I actually take your point in terms of it being seen as a potential advantage for Celtic, given the depth that they've got in their squad. But, you know, at the end of the day, the rules are the rules, and as long as they're there, we could just adhere to them and reap that advantage. The thing about somebody like O'Reilly, having somebody like O'Reilly on the bench, is not all players are suited to coming off the bench. What seems to be quite remarkable to me is the squad seems so interchangeable, even during games, that they're coming on and hitting and sometimes surpassing the level of the person that they've replaced. They're doing that consistently, which I just think's remarkable and says a lot about the harmony in the squad and just the kind of culture that Ange has created.
Yeah, I mean, you see as well, you know, of the seven goals, am I right in saying three of them were from subs? So two O'Reilly, one Abada. Mm-hmm. That be right?
Yeah.
So it's a huge impact. They're not just coming on and playing out the game and just seeing out the 3-4-0-1, whatever it is. They're coming in and they're saying, and I'm going to make an impact. And the energy and enthusiasm in the last 3, 4, 5 minutes is incredible. Any other team would down tools and say, job done, sunshine, and let's get up the road at 7-0. Celtic are trying to get 8. And at one point, you've seen Kyogo furious that he never got a cutback from Abada. Abada's had a good chance, and you could maybe argue that he's and his rights to have a go at it. The alternative would have been to cut it back for Kyogo, who'd have tapped it away. And he was desperate to get his goal. But it just shows, no hard feelings after the game, of course, I'm sure they're best buds still. But it just shows the enthusiasm, the application and the energy from start to finish at this moment in time.
It's great. I mentioned to you earlier on the day, you know, I watched Abada wheeling away after he scored. And just the celebration for a seventh goal, you know, it was very much a let's do this, let's keep going here. It was aggression within it. And I think that's more of the fact that, you know, he's not started as much of late, but he's there, he's ready to go, and what a contribution he's given this season as well. And that's brilliant. Everyone's hungry. Everyone's very hungry for this team. It's great to see.
15th goal of the season for Abada. It's some return for a winger.
Amazing.
Excellent. And again, going back to the Michelin game, which I think was the first game I was back at. It was the first game I pulled tickets for because it was still limited capacity at that time. Abada's performance that night was a shining light in what was a fairly drab pre-season at the time, and pretty much in his first competitive game, he's popped up with a really important goal in the context of that game, at least anyway. And he's just continued on for there. Probably feels he should have put the game beyond Rangers at Ibrox. I think that's maybe where the celebrations came for there, Paddy. I think he probably felt that
maybe
he should have taken at least one of the two chances that he was presented with. Mm-hmm. But the great thing, as I've said before, about Abada is just he seems not to let anything affect him and just moves on. That, and I think it's, you know, I think it's symptomatic of the mentality in the squad that we've referenced. They are relentless. They are, you know, driven. It's just great to see. It's great to see that drive and determination instilled within them. And there's no doubt that comes for the manager and the captain. We mentioned there earlier about the number of Ange signings that have contributed and how well they've bedded in. I think a huge credit for that goes to McGregor, because I think you can see visibly in front of you just how much effort and how much thought he's putting in to knitting the squad together or keeping the squad together. I think behind the scenes, again, I have no, this isn't a Celtic Exchange exclusive, but I've no doubt that McGregor it has really worked hard on that over the course of the season.
Yeah, I think it's apparently he's played a huge part, and we referenced it a wee bit last week just about the fact that, you know, he reached out to several new signings before they even landed at Lennox Town just to welcome them to the club, and I think that's been huge. Also huge for Abada has been his big brother Nir Beaton taking him under his wing. I think he took him to the Man City game yesterday by the looks of it. Just a cute couple of guys, so that's nice to see. Last point on Saturday, Miff. Hopefully not too much of a negative, but David Turnbull also left the field injured just in the last minute or so. All subs had been used, so he basically just stepped off the park and that was his day done. He was on the end of a couple of heavy tackles. I don't think St Johnstone were heavy-handed in general, but there were a couple of heavy challenges that Andrew Dallas saw fit not to do anything about.
Sure.
Do you think he would potentially be within a chance of starting next week?
No, on the basis that I can only see the the starting three in midfield out of four, that being O'Reilly in addition to Hatate, Rogic and McGregor. That's not a reflection on the fact I don't think in time Turnbull will return to the starting lineup. I think he will, because Ange trusts him and likes him, but I think he's got work to do.
I think so.
There's no doubt, and I think the stats doing the rounds, I need to double check, but he'd started something like 33 games under Ange before his injury. And there's no doubt he was and maybe still is an Ange favourite. But this team's changed in that short space of time. So it'll be the 15th of December, I think, he got injured against St Johnstone in the League Cup semi-final. And a lot has happened at Celtic Park since then. And I think he's a real talent. I'm a huge fan of David Turnbull, and I've said it, you know, several times now. I also think he looked really lively on Saturday, linking up play, popping off the passes, finding space for the return and different things. I think he's a huge talent, but nobody will walk into the Celtic side nowadays.
No, and this is the beauty of it. It's competition is high. I've said a few times on this show, I was quite critical of Turnbull in a team where last season he was one of the hopes, considering how bad it was. But this season I kind of felt like I just wanted him to see him take a bit more of a risk. A lot of the time he was too comfortable in playing it back instead of trying to drive the ball forward or try and play into the space behind the bank of four that you were up against. A lot of the time he just didn't want to take that on. That's the huge measure for me. He gets that in his game, then he's knocking the door every week to play in that team, without a doubt. I think coming back from his injury, I do think he'll just be kind of used sparingly for the remainder of the season. But a good summer ahead, hopefully, for him.
Hope so, and he's definitely got goals in his game. I think he's still fourth top scorer, I think, for a guy that's missed a lot of football, so that's a great bonus. You mentioned he was one of the few shining lights of last season. The other shining light was Ismaïl Assorou. Remember that guy? He has gone. He's as far out the picture as Ayetis and Barkas and Bolingolis, but I think we'll see those guys move on in the summer, maybe one or two others as well. So the post-split fixtures have been released today. Obviously, the top six was confirmed at the weekend, so we can now confirm that Celtic's run-in will be as follows. First game up, Ross County away, Sunday 24th of April, followed by that Rangers game at Celtic Park, Sunday 1st of May. Then it's Hearts at Celtic Park, Saturday 7th of May. Dundee United away, Wednesday 11th. And then finally, Motherwell at home on Saturday 14th of May. You'll have seen as well that Sky Sports have confirmed that all five of Celtic's games will be shown. And that's kicked off a bit of storm on Twitter. They must just like watching Ange, Miff.
Well, then,
can you blame them?
I cannot.
Were they not due to play catch up with us though? Was there not something came out the other day that they've shown more?
I think it was Rangers? Something like 18 Rangers and 14 Celtic, something like that. So listen, I'm never going to argue with too much Celtic being on the telly. But with that, breakdown, that run of fixtures confirmed, it basically means in its simplest form, you win the first two, you win the league.
Absolutely. It's,
I like that equation.
Yeah.
Easy math, Smith. Rangers,
wait to write that down.
So if we beat Ross County and we beat Rangers, they would be a minimum of 9 points behind us. They need to take something from, or full points from Motherwell to avoid that. But they'd be a minimum of 9 points behind us with three games left to play, and we're currently 19 goals better off. It's a hell of a position to be in, isn't it?
Just shows you why games like Saturday are so important, just to not stop, keep going, and you basically, we all speak about that the goal difference being a point. That's like another point coming on there on Saturday. Brilliant.
What you're saying, Paddy, is we don't stop. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying, mate.
To tie in nicely with the season ticket campaign.
I thought that's what you're suggesting.
That's exactly what I'm suggesting.
Based, Miff, on current league form, Ross County away is a bit of a toughie, isn't
it? Difficult game. I must say I'm utterly shocked at the good job that Mackay's done there. I just didn't see that working out for various reasons. But fair play. I mean, they looked gone at one point in the season. They looked like they were going to tail off, and they've come back and they've been on an excellent run of form, albeit that when they came to Celtic Park, they were coming in a good run of form and we kind of ran over the top of them. Different proposition up in Dingwall, but, you know, we've got our eyes on the prize. We just need to continue to be relentless.
Yeah. Paddy, do you see any potential slip-ups either? I mean, all going well after those two games doesn't really matter, but, you know, what's your general take on the five games we face?
I'm just looking at the two ahead, to be honest, with it in the league. I think, yeah, Ross County's a difficult game up there, always is for any team. I watched their highlights against Aberdeen. They were very, very fortunate with the penalty. Never a handball, to be honest. It was right at Johnny Hayes. I don't know if you've seen it.
No.
Watch it. It's a disgraceful decision.
Who's it if?
Can't remember who was in charge. But it's a really bad decision. And also his arm was outside the box as well. So just watch it. You'll have a good laugh.
A double whammy.
Aye. So I think watching them, they set up very well. They're very hard to break down. And that's what he's done really well for Ross County in a season. But they're quick going forward. I thought that was probably one of our hardest games this season up at Dingwall. And yeah, I think we're probably a lot better than what we were then, though. And I'm confident that we should go and beat them. But yeah, it's still a difficult game.
Yeah. They'll be playing as well for potential Europe, which is incredible, given, you know, they spent most of the season down the bottom half. That aside, though, Miff, had somebody offered you this run of fixtures, a 6-point lead, a 19-goal lead at the start of the season, you'd have bitten both their arms off.
Absolutely. And if Ross County do get into Europe and they go away, would that be a staggy do?
No. Just end it now, Tino.
No. Do you? Cut all the chuckles up the back, yeah. Absolutely. Look, we're well ahead of schedule. We just need to be happy with that. You 100%. Know, just keep your eyes on the prize. Keep going for it, lads. Get it done.
Yeah.
Please.
Paddy, we've obviously discussed Ange's, you know, one game at a time approach. You've obviously got your two in a row scarf looked out. You've got this season and a 20-point swing next season. But, you know, with Sunday in mind, you know, real focus must now turn to, you know, cup activity even just for this 1 week. They won't be looking any further than Sunday, will they?
No chance. And we all talk like, oh, surely they're keeping an eye on this game. Surely they're keeping an eye on the games coming up. It's definitely been a season of one game at a time for us. And I think it will always be with this manager, to be honest. The focus on each game we've went into, to go 32 now unbeaten. 33 now, aye.
I don't know why I pull you up on here in front of everybody, embarrass you in front of the listeners, but it's fine, mate. I think it's 33.
No problem, no bother. Aye, so I think it's testament just to how focused we've been this season. And for me, yeah, nothing moves away for this game on Sunday. I think we'll be ready for it. I do think it'll be a difficult game. I really do. But if we show up, we'll win.
Yeah, I mean, if sometimes you're a wee bit pessimistic with things like that, it's fair to say. But as Paddy says, we're in brilliant shape. 6 points clear in the league. Full week to prepare for this one. Guys feeling confident. Everybody playing their part. How are you feeling about it?
Well, I feel confident, certainly more confident than I've been at any stage in the season. But I'm always in these situations. I try to just keep myself grounded. I'm not already celebrating winning the league by 20 points next year. I'm still just focusing in the task in hand. Going back to the point about how focused the squad are and how true to their word that they are, you know, quite clearly you can see from photographs on social media that Ange is out with the family on a Sunday at Silverburn because he's getting his photos took when he's out there. Maeda's getting photos took in Costco. You know, they're not sitting watching, waiting for the results coming in. They're using their downtime as it should be used to get away from the football, to switch off, so that when they do come back in, they're focused and they're ready for the task in hand. So, listen, big game's coming up, but that's what this is all, stage of the season's all about. And what we would have given, you know, 3 or 4 games into the season to say you'd been with a shout, you win a treble, you know, even the fact we're in the position we're in is unbelievable considering where we started.
Yeah. You mentioned there the likes of, you know, Ange and Maeda doing what they're doing on a Sunday and all that stuff. He references frequently the mantra of controlling the controllables. There's no point in stressing about things that you cannot, you know, affect or impact. And I think that's exactly what he's done within this dressing room. There's so much noise. Scottish football, West of Scotland football, there's just so many, you know, different factors and people looking to make headlines and different things. And I think Andrew just shut out the noise, Paddy, and just allowed the players to fully focus on what they're doing.
Totally agree. What was spoke about quite a lot this season was the basically the jackpot of winning this league and what it means. for both clubs to try and get that amount of money, 40 million, for the Champions League. That's all disappeared now. The narrative's totally changed again. And it's more that about, I was reading an article today about showing, clubs should be showing a lot more respect to Rangers for the position they're in. We don't put ourselves into these positions. That's what our media does. Yeah. And I just think that our team is so, so distanced away from all of that. It's been brilliant. Us fans, obviously, will buy in and read in and be like, no, totally disagree. That's what we do. That's where we're allowed to have, vent our anger, vent our fury, it's stuff that's been said with stuff like that. But I kind of think to someone like Lennon last season would have something to say about some of the stuff that's been released lately and just would distract from what the more important thing is, but it's just, you're just not going to get that with this guy.
Yeah,
he doesn't take anything that they say seriously, and it's it basically just keeps the team grounded, as you said, Miff.
I read the article, I think it's Keith Jackson's article in The Record, and he's basically come out and saying the whole of Scottish football should be behind Rangers, and you know, fingers crossed for a big one against Braga. That's just not how football works. He was saying, you know, it's the, you know, some bigots and some sectarian people that, you know, that aren't for Rangers. We're not bigoted, we're not sectarian, but we definitely don't want them to win, because that's just football and it's rivalry and that's how sport goes. So you can't be criticising guys for not wanting their biggest rivals, whatever version, to be winning in Europe. It's just, that's just not the way it works.
No, it's not how it works, and it's never worked like that. So
yeah. Anyway, that aside, while we're on these kind of points, another point to definitely address is this narrative that the automatic place in Europe, the coefficient thing, is all down to Rangers' handiwork over the last couple of years. If you look into it, and you follow guys like Moravchik 25 on Twitter, who's a brilliant guy for European stuff, Celtic have achieved more coefficient points than Rangers in the last 5 years. Jackson references in the article, like, all Rangers' good work coming to nothing. He needs to get his facts right, and others need to start telling the truth.
Yeah.
You know, just to be blunt about it.
There's a huge reason.
Yeah.
It's not up at the numbers that it is now. They weren't there, and that was their own doing.
Mm-hmm.
Simple exactly. as that.
So Celtic, fired up in eight lads.
Oh,
very Celtic,
yeah. Celtic deserve as much credit as anybody for getting this automatic Champions League place. So if Celtic do go on to secure the league title before next year's party, they fully deserve what they're going to get in terms of that Champions League group entry.
I don't think I've got anything to say here, lads. I think I'll just sit back.
That's absolutely fine. There's a suggestion, Miff, that there is more pressure on Rangers going into the game than there is on us. You know, obviously, we're in a very healthy position league-wise. We're not, you know, a lot of people would say the Scottish Cup would be a bonus. But now that you're here, you know, you're definitely viewing it as something that we should absolutely be targeting. But that being the case, Miff, do you think there is pressure, though, on Rangers to come out and have a go at us again and open up?
There's pressure on Rangers just to win the game. How they go about it, I honestly don't think their fans will care. I think the... You were probably looking at the game in February at Celtic Park, and the school of thought for Rangers fans was they gave us too much respect. They sat in, they didn't really play in a style they would normally be associated with. They've then done that at home, come out all guns blazing, and it's actually more or less played into our hands because it's allowed them to run out of steam after about 15 minutes and for Celtic to gain control of the game. So I think Rangers probably are under pressure to win the game because they've lost the first in the kind of triple header, so that puts an immediate pressure on them, because straight away the way that it works in Glasgow is the team that doesn't win is under the most pressure and the manager has to find a solution. I think what Van Bronckhorst will be asking himself is, what is that solution based on how he's played already against Celtic and not won either of the games? For me, what is key is that we don't change. And I don't think we will. We've shown that we can stand up to an onslaught from Rangers when we're under pressure. I think that's a big thing. You know, they threw a lot at us at Ibrox and we stood up to it. And I think if they come out, it's all guns blazing. I think we might catch them. So, you know, really intriguing to see how it plays out. Just as long as we keep our heads and don't do anything silly, we should win the game.
Yeah. What do you think, Paddy? I think Miff's right. I don't think, in fact, I'd bet the house on it, we won't change what we do. It's just, we know Ange's system, his style, his setup, his approach. But what about Rangers and how they might approach this game, given, you know, everything that's going on around it?
So this could be 5 out of 6 trebles for us, and this could be them still trying to get, what is it, one trophy they've had in 11 seasons. The pressure is very much on them, in my opinion. I think for us, we spoke about this during the week. We got that lead at half-time last week at Ibrox. And for me, Ange basically said, let them come at you for the second half. I think that's different on Sunday. I do. I think it's different in the sense that it was probably Anne's thinking, you see, if it did go to a draw here, we'd probably have, if equalised, we'd probably still be able to come out, play some good football and try and go for the third goal, which we were doing anyway, mm-hmm. to an extent with some of the chances missed. I just think that we could possibly just be too much for them, especially if they've got a long night on Thursday night against Braga. And that's a great position to be in. I don't think he changes much from how we played on Saturday, but I definitely think at Ibrox he said, step off, mm-hmm. step off, let them come on, because they had to do all the work, we didn't.
Thought that was interesting, Paddy. You know, so many people have said Ange doesn't have a plan B, it's just this relentless attack in football, yeah. and he's got no consideration for the defensive approach to the game. That clearly wasn't the case in the second half at Ibrox, because he absolutely invited that pressure, mm-hmm. you know, and he instructed his team to do so. And you've seen how narrow the team went, you know, from Taylor and Juranovic at the fullback positions. They've deliberately stood off the wingers and said, fire it in the box,
yeah.
and you'll see what you get from it.
We did it. We did it in the home game Aye. As well, the second half, when Ryan Jack won the second half, nothing each.
Yep. That's right, we kind of shot off the crossbar, goal of the season.
Yep. So, you know, it's not unknown for him to do it. Mm-hmm.
But it is interesting. But he obviously, I think, will take the game in the usual approach to begin with.
Yeah.
And if we then need to change the system to defend a lead or something, we're more than capable of doing so.
A big factor for me last Sunday as well, as I kind of say to you as well, Tino, one of the things for me is the minute Carter Vickers... And in the first half, this is the minute Carter Vickers and Starfelt realised they had more pace than Kemar Roof. That was it. The ball was coming out quite comfortably for the rest of that first half. That's all I need to do again.
The interesting thing for me is that Roof, having scored at the weekend, might have a wee bit more confidence about him than what he did. He just looked to me, he almost looked like he knew Starfelt and Carter Vickers had the better of him before the game had even started. I don't think Roof's the worst player in the world.
No,
he's not Morelos.
No.
You know, he's not going to give you as much physical or as much of a physical threat as Morelos would. He'll run those channels and he'll get the defenders turning. You know, Roof looks like he needs to kind of ball on his feet, but he's a tidy player and he's on the ball. For me, just Morelos missing just makes it a completely different game.
Aye.
You know, they've not got that quick ball forward to get them up and get support in. So if we control the game, what we have shown is that our movement is such that we will create chances against them. What you're just hoping is that we take them in a timely enough fashion, and that should see us through.
A big factor for them, I think, yesterday though, was actually the delivery of somebody like Barisic coming in for the left. I think that was worked a lot better for them. And we seen what happened to Barisic at Celtic Park. So it just kind of, I think that's, Roof got a lot more better service yesterday for them, for the goals I'd seen. And it was a lot that was coming from their left-hand side. I think they feel a lot more comfortable and been able to use... he's got a very good delivery on him, Barisic. But I still think he's definitely a player that we can get at quite easily. So I'm not too worried about Roof. I don't think he's a bad striker, but I do think he needs a good delivery into the box. And he wasn't getting that last Sunday.
I'll tell you, he does need skinhead.
Just buzz that off and start again.
Just get rid of it, son.
Just get rid of it.
I think so.
Or get yourself out of Turkey.
Paddy, you referenced the Braga game that Rangers have on Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
How big a factor do you think that extra week that we have to prepare will have on the game? So they'll be, you know, they're at home, so no travelling, but it's a game that will take a lot out of them physically and mentally, maybe even more so depending on the result. You know, if it doesn't go their way, that's a big blow. How much of an impact do you think that could have in terms of the prep for both teams?
Huge, because I don't think Braga are going to come and they're not going to try and come for a goal. No, it'll be kind of like... the way we went over to Boa Vista, in the sense we were up against it.
Back in the day.
But just one of those games, Portuguese teams will probably just try and see it out. They've got their goal. That's all they want to sit on. And Rangers will have to throw everything at it on Thursday.
I seen a bit of the Braga-Rangers game and I didn't think the Braga centre-halves were up too much. They looked pretty slow and cumbersome. So
their keeper was okay.
I came out for the crosses quite well. So I wouldn't be surprised if Rangers went through.
I suppose the opposite could happen then. If they get a big result on Thursday and go through, that could seriously lift them. So, you know, you talk about energy levels and the physical prep, and there's no doubt that we've got the luxury of that this week. But a big win for them on Thursday could have a bearing on how they approach it.
It could do, but it's not going to change how we approach it. So I think that's the key in it all, is that we're going to play in a certain way. We're going to go and try and win the game. What Rangers do is obviously got to be down to them, but I just think it's intriguing. They've kind of tried two different ways against us that haven't worked. That's just the interesting thing. You know, things can happen in football games. You know, player having a, you know, making a stupid decision when he's left one-on-one, you know, red cards, refereeing decisions, that type of thing, marginal offsides. It's just going to be interesting to see how the styles mesh again. Yeah. Bring it on.
Yeah, we'll be. In terms of our lineup, Miff, so looks like Giakoumakis might be a doubt for it, as discussed. Potentially Turnbull. James Forrest also seems to be struggling at the moment. Do you think he'll give Kyogo the start, or do you think he might move Maeda into the middle and go a bad?
No, I think he'll move Maeda into the middle. It's my own personal opinion.
Yeah.
I think Giakoumakis, specifically against Rangers, is a big miss.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Paddy? Do you think he'll go with Kyogo from the start, or is it Maeda through the middle?
I think Kyogo's probably been fit enough for quite a wee bit. I wouldn't be surprised if you've probably seen him start, just to give something else for Rangers to think about. And then you've got that luxury of being able to maybe move Maeda in later, because you're going to get the full 90 from Maeda quite happily. Full 180. Aye. And then I quite like the idea of someone like Abada coming on again and just being fresh and pushing from maybe the right, maybe bringing Jota over to the left. I wouldn't be too unhappy if we started Kyogo. I think it would be good.
You'll never see me upset at Kyogo starting against Celtic.
You know what I mean?
But I think he'll start on the bench. I think he's sharp and physically fit, but match fitness is a different thing. And I think, given what happened with his hamstring previously, I think he might just be a wee bit cautious of him. And then if he needs to bring him in, he might do. The other big question, Paddy, I think, is the Matt O'Riley versus Tom Rogic thing. So he's chopped and changed between the two of them, you know, since the turn of the year. O'Riley certainly staked a claim with his second half performance. Two goals were excellent, actually, but the second one being the kind of pick of the bunch. Do you think O'Riley gets the nod, or will he stick with Rogic, who, as we know, is the man for the big occasion against Rangers?
I think it'll be Tam. I do. I just think he's got one of his best performances against him last Sunday, and a nice wee game for him on Saturday. I think he'll be gunning for them again. Different player this season. Different player. We know how good he is, but he's been outstanding this year. I think he definitely starts for me.
Yeah, he's got 6 goals against Rangers, Miff. Will he make it 7 on Sunday?
Humanity peaked when they made Tom Rogic.
Sure did. So is that your clever way of saying you think he'll start Tom Rogic? Yeah, I think he will, and I think he should. But it's great to have an option like O'Riley waiting in the wings if need be, or if he just wants to freshen it up. Those debates aside, so, you know, whether Kyogo starts or Maeda through the middle, whether Rogic starts or O'Riley, do you think the rest of the team picks itself pretty much at this moment in time?
Yeah, I do. Although I was very happy in the way Ralston come on and played at Ibrox, especially his tackle.
Ludicrous tackle.
Great tackle. But I just think that's one of the ones. Taylor and Juranovic have been very, very settled of late, especially Taylor, I have to say. He's played very well in the running, and I hope it continues.
I think when you've seen, pains me to say, but a lot of Rangers' success last year league-wise is just because they had this settled back four. You know, it was Tavernier, Goldson, somebody else, somebody else left back, and Barisic at left back. But it was just a steady four that picked itself week on week. We've now got that four. Mm-hmm. I'd be amazed if there's any change from Juranovic, Starfelt and Carter Vickers in the centre, and Greg Taylor at left back, and obviously Joe Hart behind them as well. And I just think that stability and that foundation is just what's allowed everything ahead of it to flow. You know, just it gives the creative players license to know that they can go and do what they want, take chances to an extent, knowing you've got that safety net at the back.
Yeah, and I think for all that the defence was subject to a lot of scrutiny and criticism at the start of the season, clearly Angie's method is about the structure of the team defending rather than it just being about who happens to be playing centre-half and leaving it to them. I think we all made our peace at the start of the season, or well, we tried to, that it would be kind of seat-your-pants stuff watching the team defending, but as the season's progressed, you see that there is a fairly solid structure there. And to be fair to Juranovic, Taylor, they've been a huge part of that because they've been able to implement what the style that Ange wants. That, you know, he's mentioned the fact he was a fullback as well. He tries to get his fullbacks more involved in the game. They've been able to implement that, but also Ralston, you know, you have to mention Ralston as well, just because of how he played specifically at the start of the season. The key to the whole thing is just the fact that the players have an unequivocal belief in the manager's method of playing the game. and that's allowed the defence to flourish. I mean, you can even see Hart's doing things that he's clearly not or wasn't comfortable in doing. He's gained a confidence for doing that. Mm-hmm. I think it's the same way, not necessarily Juranovic, because, you know, he's an international fullback, you would expect him to be adaptable, but Taylor was regarded by everyone as fairly limited, but he's shown a wee bit more his game this season.
Confidence.
When it comes to confidence, but also being coached, you know, being coached in a manner where somebody's probably seen something a bit different in you, and that in itself gives you confidence to say, he thinks I can do more than just, you know, win a 50-50 and launch a ball up the line.
I mean, at times on Saturday, you've seen Greg Taylor in the 10, in the number 10 position. Had you told him at the start of the season, some guy called Ange Postecoglou is coming in for Australia, and at times they want you to play in the 10, you'd have just scrapped it and started again. And I think the fact that not only does he find himself in the 10, he's receiving the ball and making good use of it. Yes. You know, it's not just, you know, he's there just because we need somebody else to be there at this moment in time. He's there and he's doing a very good job, and all credit to Miff for finding Greg Taylor for Celtic and championing the lad. But I suppose it's an example of, Taylor's just one small example of the fact that everybody has bought in and everybody knows their role. And as mentioned at the kind of top of the show here, it's really exciting just now. Saturday is phenomenal stuff, 7 goals. And it's just only going to improve as you start to get, A, the guys that are there getting more used to it and bringing more and more talent. And it's just, you know, such an exciting time for the club. So long may that continue. Miff, all things said and done in terms of the lineup and potential lineup for Sunday, you know, the formation and whatever else, what is your scoreline prediction?
2-0, Celtic.
Paddy?
I agreed, 2-0, Celtic.
That keeps it nice and boring, you two.
Sorry, result. I was going.
Any thoughts on who the scorers may be?
Maida and Tam.
Greg Taylor double?
Yes, but in the absence of that, I'll go for Rogic and Jota.
Rogic's the man of the big occasion. I think you can definitely see something in that. I'm going for 3-1. I was going to go 3-0, but I just think it would and should be played out like a cup tie, and it might be a wee bit rough and tumble at times, and you never know. So 3-1 will be my prediction for that one. Any thoughts on that, Miff?
I'll take it.
You look like you're about to
I'll take it.
Before we finish up, Paddy, I believe you've got some new phone covers there. Would you like to talk us through them?
Absolutely. Just a big shout out to the guys. This is my QVC moment here. I'm trying to find the right camera. So for the listeners here, we'll put up a wee post on our social media sites here, but a shout out to Tech Tech. They sent us these in just so if guys are looking for some nice mobile phone covers, we've got this one here, and we've got this absolute belter here, and we've got our leader, which is Ange Postecoglou here, and we've got also this one here. Give the wee guys a follow on the likes of Instagram, Twitter and stuff like that, and yeah, have a look at what they've got. Some great stuff for them, and cheers again, boys.
What I will say is, Matt, iPhone is so ancient that mine's only up to date with the model that they've made. So
your iPhone 4,
I'm no part of this cartel here, lads.
They do have different selections. We'll get you one, Miff.
Well, in that case, then sort me out.
And beautifully done there, Paddy.
Thanks, mate.
I liked it. QVC, watch your back. Miff, we start to wrap things up for today. Obviously, another crucial week in the context of the season. But what's your final thoughts for the week?
Final thoughts for the week. I was going to try and think of something quite profound to say there, but all I would say is I'm looking forward to it. I know I felt like that. There was a wee silence. I was going to do like a can I am jolly type thing. Really looking forward to the game. Even more buzzing. It's a break for the wee man's football as well this weekend. I'm not running about, but I'd have to.
I'll be able to relax.
I get the Monday off. So I'm just looking forward to the weekend to come. Looking forward to the game. Sorry, that was a bit of a tangent.
Paddy, anything more profound than that nonsense?
Well, on to our next slot on QVC. great week ahead for us. I've said it again many a times in this show, it's just amazing we're in this position this year, and it's a credit to the players and the manager. And just that one mate continue, Tino.
Yeah, bring on 2 in a row, Paddy.
Bring on 2 in a row. Yeah.
So with the league table currently making for very enjoyable reading, all eyes now turn to Hampden, where Celtic could take a massive step towards securing yet another treble if they can take care of Rangers in Sunday's Scottish Cup semi-final. With Celtic playing the way they are, and with the added bonus of a returning Kyogo Furuhashi, then they've got every chance of doing so. Thanks to Miff and Paddy for joining me today, and thanks to you for continuing to follow and support the Celtic Exchange. If you're enjoying what we do and want to help us spread the word, please help us do so by sharing this episode with just 2 of your Celtic supporting pals this week. It really goes a long way to helping us do what we do. But in the meantime, and as always, thanks for tuning in.
Social Podcast Network.